Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.
Barbara and Declan join us once again to ponder economic versus ecological collapse.
Very smart listeners. That was very smart writing all that.
Yeah, right.
Wrote all that and word collapse and everything.
Yeah.
Very good. Great.
Anyway.
Yeah. I feel it though. I think he has a point.
Does he?
Or if it's a she, I didn't.
Yeah, you're so sexist.
He is very sexist.
I've been hanging out with Barbara earlier on, so I'm just preconditioned to believe that the gender is an issue as to whether the point is valid or not.
Yeah. I broke up with my boyfriend 2 months ago. We've been dating and living together for 2 years. To cut a long story, short, we broke up because I cheated on him. I own the house that we're living in, and I said he could stay in the spare room until he could find someplace else. It's been 2 months now. He's still here. I know he's been to a lot of viewings, and I've even tried to help him. But as we all know, there's a lack of housing out there. I don't want to throw him out, as I feel guilty that it was me who went into the relationship. But I really want my home to myself. Plus, I'd like to be able to take a new guy home that I've started casually seeing. Should I just tell my ex that he has to leave now and that his situation is no longer my problem? Whoa, that's cold.
Under normal circumstances, I would say, yeah, time's up. You know, you're not together any longer. It's your house and he's got to sling his hook and move on. But as this person says themselves, it's not kind of a normal situation as regards housing, especially in Dublin. Well, especially in any kind of urban area. And it sounds like he's doing his best. He's been to lots of viewings and he's trying to get himself sorted out. And I presume that he's no other options like moving home with mammy and daddy or sharing with somebody else. So my feeling would be on the, should I let him stay a bit longer? Yeah, I think you need to cut him a little bit of slack and let him stay a little bit longer. But I think you should be clear that you're not letting him stay because you feel guilty about the relationship. You've got to divorce those two things. You're letting him stay because it's awful out there. It's a really nightmare out there. And that's why you're letting him stay. You're being compassionate. I think this whole feeling guilty thing is ridiculous. I also think that it shouldn't stop you bringing a new fella back. Like, if you're not going out anymore, it's like, do you remember when you were, I don't know if this is just a girl thing or if this was a guy thing. Do you remember when you were about 17 and you were going out with somebody and then you broke up and then you started going out with your friend? And that was seen as like, oh, you can't go out with him because I used to go out with him. Like, I never held with that. Like, you're really going out with somebody, you're not going out with
somebody. That still happens. Good
so
God.
Does it?
Yeah.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Anyway, So I don't think the fact that she has a new chap a casual chap that she wants to bring home should stop her. Might be a bit awkward, but it might concentrate his mind on moving on.
Yeah.
That's my response to that.
So they were living together.
Yeah.
They were together for 2 years.
Yeah.
Their relationship ended in the most devastating way. And
why was it a devastating way?
Because he found out she cheated on him.
Did I miss that?
Yeah, she was cheating on him. So
now he's
homeless.
How
his girlfriend cheated on him, and now he has to listen to her and her new boyfriend having noisy sex in the next room.
Cheated on him.
Oh my God, just put a bullet through his brain now.
Oh God, I missed the bit about cheating on him.
Ah, right, okay.
I missed that. But you know what?
That's because you wanted to assume that because it was a woman that she wouldn't have cheated on her. But that's
libelous. Is that libelous?
No, it might be true, actually.
Maybe it is. But I mean, you know.
It's confirmation bias all the way.
Well, I did say she should be compassionate to him. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, what's done is done. It's over. Like,
no,
it's
it
over.
Is. It is over.
But
it's difficult to know how long to
leave
him there.
Go on, annihilate the woman now. Go on.
No, because I'd say this fella is probably a bit depressed as well as everything else, understandably.
Why do you think he's depressed?
Girlfriend cheated on me and I'm homeless. Life couldn't be better.
Good. Yeah, but he mightn't be depressed. I mean, it was 2 months ago. How old are these people?
They were going out for 2 years.
I know, yeah, but like when it's over, it's over. Like, and it's over. Why would he be, like, he should have, like, yeah. And she's not homeless. So, like, I don't.
Barbara, we'll be launching our new relationship counselling service today.
No,
called Get Over It.
But it is kind of Get Over It, though, isn't it?
It is Get Over It. Thanks, Declan.
I don't either. they stay exactly the way they are at the moment, or they go backwards in time, and which is not going to happen. The staying as things are is untenable, because it just means they're both stuck in this limbo.
Yeah.
So sometimes the cruelest thing is the easiest thing, and doing that complete, like, you know,
okay, he's going to say something worse than I did.
The wound.
You're ripping off the sticky plaster.
Yeah, but I do think, though, we do come against the stumbling block of accommodation, and where. So what I want to know is, what was it about the guy who has no friends he can look to in a time of need that made you want to have an affair?
But if he wasn't depressed when he heard my response,
oh,
he's
my
very
God.
Depressed now.
You two are utter bastards.
No, I'm sorry, but
based on what I said, look, you're like really strange.
Yeah, Barbara, I'm a gentleman. I'm just trying to help you out of your, you know, the hole you're in.
Should she say to him, maybe, look, I know it's really hard to get a place to stay. I'm just wondering how it's going. Just so you know.
That's the only reason why I haven't kicked you out already.
I want you to know I'm started seeing someone and, you know, they're going to be calling around. And maybe couch it that way might put a rocket up his arse to
couch
me.
Couch it. Yeah.
But see, the thing about it is, there's something about the guy not moving on. I mean, is it because the options are, I could stay in Brian's house on the couch.
Of course, it's because he's still crying.
Well, no, but he could be, and it is a shock, and he is probably going, oh, you know, my whole world has gone to absolute crap now, and I've got nowhere to live. My relationship is over. What am I going to do? And some people just aren't very good at having the initiative to kind of create.
So are you saying, Chuck, that she should kind of give him the heave?
No, but no, I don't, because I see it from both perspectives. I see it from her perspective that she obviously was done with the relationship. She went off and had, like, you know, a fling with somebody else.
Yeah.
She's done with him. And, you know, whatever, 2 years, it's a long time on one level, but it's also not
but
a long time on another.
Like, yeah.
So whatever, you know, no, it's like a kind of a no fault kind of see you later, guys. But the fact that they were living together complicates that. But they were, you know, it is her house. And
yeah, that's the thing that complicates it, really, is the
and
fact
she's
that it's her
and,
house.
And in the time since she's decided the relationship is over, she's letting him stay in the spare room.
Presumably.
I mean, you know, I just, if it was me,
I'd be
like, I just have to, for my own dignity and my own.
Yeah, you would, really.
Yeah,
you want to get out
of
there
gone.
As soon as possible.
Okay, so the advice is he should just move out if he's listening. And if that's him.
He should just move out, if he can. One texter says that poor man has helped pay her mortgage for 2 years. He should take up squatter's rights. Oh, God, that's going to make, that's going to help.
No, that's ridiculous. No. So because, you know, you could say that about anybody, you know.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that works. I don't even know, because I know that if their relationship was formalized in another way, then, you know, he would have more opportunities or options. Like, you can do something called a cohabitation order or something, where I know you can do it in other countries. I saw it on Matlock or something. You can kind of you know, everything on the television is true. You kind of get a lawyer to sort out a paper so that you can say, well, I, you know, for the time being, I can stay in your home. But I don't know whether they exist in our jurisdiction.
Somebody else says, I was in a similar situation. I turfed my cheating girlfriend out in 24 hours. But did she own the house as well? Because that's the situation here. How can Barbara not show some compassion? How would she like it if someone cheated on her?
Yeah, no.
Typical woman not listening fully to her problem. Shame on Barbara.
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly.
Yes. We'll have a ritual burning of Barbara at the end of the show as well.
Okay.
Hi, guys. Can you help? I face a daily commute of about 2 hours. Same bus at the same time with the same faces. About a month ago, a middle-aged man, who I would nod politely to each morning, actually sat beside me and struck up a conversation. He's a pleasant man, and from what he told me, he lives a lonely life. He's no family and lives alone with his cat.
And his girlfriend, who cheated on him, and is now having a new boyfriend.
The problem is, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm not really in the mood to spend an hour listening to go on about his cat. I get the daily rundown of his mundane life. I can't take it anymore. He won't take any subtle hints. What should I do?
You missed out the best bit. His cat's called Freddie Mercury.
I didn't read that bit out because that makes him too identifiable.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, Barbara.
Yeah.
Barbara.
Okay, sorry.
Well done.
So I've changed my advice. Yeah.
Well, we don't need to answer that question now anyway. So now, you know, stop annoying that woman if you're listening. Hi, Barbara and Declan. I've started dating someone new. Just a month now. We're having a laugh. She hasn't met any of my friends or family, and I haven't told them about her either. The thing is, she's considerably older than me. I'm 26 and she's 51. I've never looked at older women, but we just seem to have fun. I know that my mates will slag me off for the age difference between it. We call it coffin snatching, and it's always been a big no-no among us. Is someone twice my age too much of an age difference? Should I nip this in the bud? Because where can the relationship go? It's not as if she'll be able to have my kids. What do you think? By the way, she seems really keen on me and is already planning a week away for us.
This woman sounds amazing. So, you know, fair play to her. But I do think that, and I do believe that this is not something you can address on a kind of a general sense. I think it is definitely case by case scenario.
Yeah.
So, you know, it may be that that big, quite large age difference could work in a specific relationship. But personally, I feel that it does get to a point where the age gap is too large to allow both parties to flow through life in a way that isn't being, you know, they're not being pulled in a direction
opposite to each other, kind of.
That's not a kind of I don't want to use the word natural, but like a kind of a consecutive flow. What I'm saying is, you don't want to be 21 and then suddenly living the life of a 50-year-old. You need to have lived the stages in between to just feel that you've kind of marked all the paths to life. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're 26 and you're just, you know, you're hooking up with some woman who is up for it, and that's a great thing for you when you're a young person, but it comes with a whole other kind of baggage thing.
Yeah.
Does that sound ageist? Possibly. But I'm aware of that. But I'm looking at it from her perspective as well. I mean, it's great for her, but it's also kind of like, there's a big difference between 20. Like, I know I talk to 26 year olds all the time.
Yeah, no, there is. I quite agree.
And it's
there
a big difference. And so,
but as a 51, looking at it from her point of view, she's not looking for someone to have babies with.
Yes. Yeah, so,
no.
She's more having a laugh than he is.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. And so it's this perspective of, like, you know, at the time you think that what you want is exactly the same thing, but as you move, your needs kind of go in different directions. Mm. And I'm saying that that's what he needs to think about. He needs to think about, is it okay to have a laugh with this woman and seems like an amazing laugh for him? Yeah. Is there something to make fun about? Not really. Because most of the people making fun of those situations are really normative type of people who believe that everybody has to follow exactly the same thing, wear the same shoes, wear the same chinos, do the same car, live in the same suburb, blah, blah, blah. Anybody who steps away from that gets mocked.
Do you know what jumped out at this to me? Calling it coffin snatching
at 51.
And it's always at 51. That was number one. And it's always been a big no-no. Are guys sitting down and
talking
discussing
about
going
this
out with women who are old enough to be their mammies? I mean, that's
because they're
weird.
26. They go, oh, I slept with mum and dad having sex. Ooh.
Why is it weird?
Well, I mean, I certainly know. At no stage did me and my girlfriends ever sit down and have a serious conversation where we had terminology for it about going out with a guy who was old enough to be our dad.
We have other terminology. We have cradle snatching. We've got cougars. We have loads of terminology
coffin
to
snatching
describe. That's just flipping the scenario from a different perspective.
I just
exactly
thought that
same
was a bit
action
weird. The other thing that jumped out at me, which as a big red flag, was that the last line, by the way, she seems really keen on me and is already planning a weekend away for us. She's planning a weekend away for us.
Yeah.
Is she paying for a weekend away for us as well? In other words, like, I'm just kind of, I mean, I agree with you. I think she's probably having the crack and she's delighted with, she's delighted with herself. And, you know, she's got a guy who's 26 to have a bit of fun with. But I think he'd want to be very clear where he's going here. And if, you know, if it is only just for the crack, well, then fine. But
you know what? He's an idiot. He's a total idiot. And his reading of what things mean is completely different to her reading of what things mean. For her, a weekend away probably means a few nice dinners and a lot of writing.
Yeah.
That's it. He thinks it's a marriage proposal. Reel your head back in, laddie. You are young enough to be her son. And there's probably a limited set of reasons why she's interested in them. One of them probably isn't as interested.
I mean, I just hope, I kind of subscribe to that, but I just hope that she's not one of these kind of, I'm in trouble anyway. She's not one of these kind of needy older women, you know, the kind of women that go on holidays to Spain and hook up with the waiter and then sell up
fall
their house and
them
fall in love and spend all their money on the waiter. Yeah. You know, I just hope that it is an equal kind of thing in that regard, that she's very clear about what she's doing and that he's not...
Okay, yeah. So if this person is a Spanish waiter, maybe they should be alert. But other than that,
Toma Joy's grand, yeah.
But should he not just ask her? She'd probably give him a straight answer.
She probably would, yeah. She probably would.
But I think you took down it there. I think that he doesn't know what he wants. And he, if he's like turning to his mates and they're telling him that that's not the way it's meant to be and you're meant to do this. And in many ways, they're kind of right. But in some ways, they're wrong because what they're actually describing is just a little
I'd also say he's saving a fortune going out with this woman.
Yeah, and look, they're going to slag him about it. That's what lads do, you know. Suck it up. And I don't. And my guess is she won't give a damn.
She won't. No, I don't.
She won't
not.
Give a damn. She'll be
not.
Well able for it.
Yeah, no, I hope not.
Can you please help? My brother is in his late 20s, married with two young girls. He's lost his job 3 months ago and he and his wife claim they're managing fine and that things will get better soon. It's been over 3 months now and things seem to be getting worse. My 5-year-old niece has told me that they no longer get treats like fizzy drinks or chocolate and that the family car is gone. She said she's scared that they might have to leave their home. As she overheard mummy and daddy arguing about the house. I've just recently gotten back on good terms with my brother after a long time of arguing. I'm worried that if I ask him if he needs help, that he will get upset and possibly not talk to me again. Well, on the other hand, I can't sit by if they're struggling. What should I do?
Oh, God. the first thing I'd say to this is that a 5-year-old might not be the best, you know, kind of gauge
source for information.
And source of information as to how your brother and his wife are getting on financially. And not getting treats like fizzy drinks or chocolate could have lots of reasons, not just money, as to why the parents might have decided to row that back in. Although the family car going is a little bit worrying. But, you know, the bottom line here is that you can't go rowing in, even if it's your brother or your sister or somebody reasonably close to you. You can't go rowing in trying to help or sort out other people's problems unless they open the door to that help first. You can't assume things. And if the brother hasn't said to her, look, you know, we're in a bit of trouble, you know, whatever, I don't see what she can do. The only other thing I would say is that she said about how they'd fallen out and she's only recently back on good terms with them. I think she needs to keep building on the relationship and building up some trust, you know, phoning him regularly, calling in, you know, checking in and just opening that communication so that if she, and I don't know if she's in a position to help, if they have serious financial difficulties or not, but I think building up that trust will take a bit of time. And that's the best thing that she can do. But as for kind of, you know, riding in on a chariot and going, yeah, here I am now and what can I do and I'm going to help, probably will backfire.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, the whole point is that if she hasn't got the tools to be able to remove the problem, then she shouldn't stick her snout into that trough.
Stick her snout into the trough.
Well,
yeah.
At the same time, if they're in trouble, if they need help.
But no, but people, you know, people don't tell people about the problems that they have in their lives for many reasons. Like pride is an obvious one that, you know, might not allow them to ask for help when they need help. But sometimes that's just not the relationship that you have with that particular person. And it's particularly if you had a troubled relationship in the past over issues that you haven't explained. So we don't even know what that is about. So maybe.
And she hasn't mentioned any other family, which is interesting, because if the brother's in the late 20s, the parents should be probably still alive.
Yeah.
And that's usually where people will go, because it's usually parents who might have a bit of a nest egg or some facility to be able to throw a lifeline out if somebody's in serious financial difficulties. But you know, it could be just that knowing that they're on reduced means that they're just cutting their cloth, you know, and they are actually managing. You know,
and people argue, I mean, people do argue about finances all the time, and you know, you know.
But I mean, they might be managing. They mightn't be as in as desperate a situation as she thinks they might be.
Yeah.
So I think that by rowing in and, you know, calling over and going, listen, you know, your 5-year-old said you sold the car and she has no fizzy drinks and Jesus, like, you know, here's a few hundred quid or even a few grand. I'm not sure that that's going to be well received.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it probably wouldn't when somebody hasn't opened that door already for you and allowed you to.
Yeah, I agree. I think unfortunately.
Judge a pause.
Yeah. Susan on Twitter says, 51, 26, fair play to her. I'm 51. Some days I haven't the energy to get out of bed, let alone get into one with a 26-year-old. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. We'll take a break back in a sec.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.